Well, good morning, everyone. I thought there was one more song, so I wasn't ready. Well, it is holiday weekend, right? And so sometimes we are missing a few people, but sometimes we get people from out of town, so I'm thankful that my son Tyler is here with his wife Amanda, so that's good. I see Kevin is here, so that's good. I haven't seen Kevin in a while, so it's good. And there's some other visitors, so glad you all are here today. So sometimes you're not sure what you're going to have here on a holiday weekend, and so hopefully you all are having a good weekend. So God give us some good weather for at least 3 days, and then it gets a little nippy again, right? So, but we are in a series here. We kind of started off the intro last Sunday night about drawing near to God, and drawing near to God takes a little bit of effort. The first thing it is we got to want to. God wants us to, but if we want to draw near to God, there's some things we got to work on, and drawing near to God is a something that God has always desired man to do, is draw near to God. God loves a relationship with men and women, but we don't always want that. Sometimes we struggle with that, and when we have sin in our life, and we're living unrighteously before God as believers, we have a tendency to fall out of our worship. We have a tendency to fall out of our relationship with God by not attending worship, by not reading His Word, and our prayer life becomes almost non-existent until we get into trouble, and then we call upon Him, and God will use that opportunity. And He will be very patient, and He'll use that opportunity to draw you back. He'll use that circumstance to draw you back to Him. But we're going to talk about how we can get it and how we can get that together and what the Word tells us to do when we draw to Him. But I do hope things are going well for you. I hope you are praying for the people down there in Texas. I hope you're praying for others. I did see something that was great on the news. I did see that our president and some of the people there with Vice President Mike Pence and them were praying in the White House. I saw that video. That was amazing. That made my heart stir with a good and a gladness. And I just want to let you know, I'm not a political person. I pray for every leader that we have, regardless whether I feel like they're doing a great job or not. I think God's better at moving leaders than I am. But I am called to pray for them. But it made me very happy to see that they were praying in the White House over this weekend. And it was not a sugarcoat prayer if you heard it. It was right. It was good. And it was definitely a blessing that made me feel good. So, but if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. And just want to remind you that we are working on our series on drawing near to God, because I feel like we need to do that. And because if we, as I said last Sunday night, if we want the community to draw near to God and to draw near to God, then we have to do it first. And just saying that we're a Christian and doing a couple of things here and there doesn't mean that we're close to God. We can be close to religion. We can be close to religious traditions. Even very good at the ceremonies and the certain holidays. But we're not close to God until our heart and our spirit are connected with His. So, we had a memory scripture last week, and it was this scripture right here, right? Anybody want to stand up? And see, today you get a cheat sheet because it's on the banner. Does anybody, this is our memory scripture, okay? Anybody learn it over the week? If you learned it, anybody know it? Anybody know the scripture by memory? Okay. Anyway, I'm just saying, lift your hand up. Don't be ashamed, because I'm going to bust you out. Okay? All right, here's the deal. Here's the thing. If you want to draw near to God, one of those things is you got to start learning some scripture. We learned that last week. We learned if you read it, if you hear it, you learn about by 10%. If you read it, you learn a little bit more percent. But if you memorize it, you got 100%. Okay? Here it is. If we want to draw near to God, this is why it's an uphill battle for me. I've been gone for a year and a half. I've got to come in and preach certain style of messages. But now I've been criticized for being hard as a pastor, hard preaching out of the pulpit. And I'm okay with that. As long as I do it with the right heart, do it with the right motives. and it's what God wants me to speak on. Because sometimes, I will not say it's you. I will say it's me first. I am hard-headed at times. I have certain issues that I got to work through. Okay, I have certain issues that I need to work through as a pastor. Certain things I learned over the last year and a half. Number one is I need to release more responsibility. Not grab a hold of it and run with it. And some of you other leaders are the same way. You got to learn how to release. I'm trying to learn how to release. But when I release, there's accountability. Which means I also will come to say, I thought we talked about doing X, Y, and Z. And if you don't do X, Y, and Z, then what happened? Why didn't it happen? If it didn't happen and you just blew it off, are you going to do that again? Because if you are, then I'm going to go and find someone else. If you want to come up and sing specials, you want to come up and do certain things. If you don't practice, you don't sing. You don't go and wing a Sunday school class if you don't study it. Okay? We got to grow up in the Lord, and we got to grow up so that God can use us for bigger and better things. Okay? We got to do that. And we do that by drawing closer to God. All right? I said last Sunday night, I need to draw closer to God. I cannot be a baby Christian forever. There are some that's going to do that, but you cannot tell yourself, I am not going to be a baby Christian. I'm not going to be a baby Christian. So, we have memory verses. Yes, they are hard. Listen, I'm going through more memory verses than you are because I'm in another program with the Billy Graham thing until this thing is over with in October. And they got me slammed with six memory verses and my head's all going all over the place. But we have one. Okay? Draw near to God and what? All right. Y'all did it like I'm teaching a class, like Amanda would be teaching a class. There's no enthusiasm, no excitement in it, okay? All right? So it is James 4:8, okay? So you need to remember that, okay? Because if you want to draw near to God, those things will should gravitate to you. We should be excited about who the Lord is. And we should be excited that God is still using New Life Fellowship. We should be excited that God is still using New Life Fellowship, that God is still using us. You see, God's going to surpass us. I'm going to tell you right now, God is going to surpass us if we don't keep it up. He will bring in new people. Now look at me now. He'll bring in new people. And if you have, and you're in the window of serving here, or the opportunity for serving here is unbelievable. And God will bring in new people. In 10 or 15 years, God can bring in a whole new set of people. And you thought you had the keys to everything? God can take those keys away from you just so easily and begin to give them to people that are more responsible, that have a heart for what He is doing. He can do that to me too. So we need to be the people that God's called us to be. We need to be the people that God has called us to be. Okay? Are we here today? Amen? Are we here today? Now, I'm already into this message. I'm not even started this message. I just think we just have this little piece here I just wanted to share. So, but I am happy to be back. And some of you might not, hopefully that you're happy I'm back. But I'm happy I'm back. It feels right because it is right. And it's just the way that it is. So, do we want to get deeper and we want to get closer to God? Because I'm going to tell you, the excuses are done with. I have a large accountability. In certain ways. I talk to some people and I make them make me accountable. And so we're going to go. And we're going to move forward in this little piece here this morning. And it's going to be a challenge. Because I want to tell you, you can't live in sin and come expect to get all the benefits that God has for you. You can't live in sin and do what some of us did in the last weekend and turn around and expect to be blessed by God. Not going to happen. You'll get the same blessings that the world gets. You'll get the same blessings. The sun shines on the just and the unjust. But we were created more for that, right? That we might have life more abundantly, right? That's the blessings of the Lord. The blessings of our salvation, living it in the way that we should. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, and I will throw some things in the next weeks that I think will help us a little bit more, but I don't want to get into that today. But we're just going to look at one verse today. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. He says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Father, Lord, we do love you and we do thank you for the day. We thank you for this holiday. We thank you, Lord, that our leaders, Lord, rose up and brought your name before this nation, not ashamed and not embarrassed, but did it in confidence, using that, Lord, to state that we are a nation under God. Father, we pray that you'll be with us during this service, that your Holy Spirit would have free reign upon our hearts and inside of our spirits, that we may draw closer to you, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. So he says, so there's some things here that this word begins to tell us if we're going to draw near to God, okay? And if you want, and I'm sure there's somebody here not wanting to draw near to God because they have that old piece here that they use the excuse that, oh, God, and God is holy and all that, but I can't draw to him, so they just kind of shut that door down. They close the curtain, they shut the door, they just use that as an excuse so that they don't have to move forward to God, because when you move forward to God, when you move closer to God, your true heart and everything about you becomes more exposed. And you begin to see it. The Holy Spirit begins to show you. But he says this. He's got four things in here that I see that we need to begin to look at. Okay? So, here's the first one. Okay? First one. Let us draw near with a true heart. Which means we need to have a true heart. A clean heart. If we're going to draw near to God, if we want to go to have a closer walk with the Lord, our heart needs to be clean. Now, I will tell you this, as a non-believer, you come as you are. As a non-believer, you come with everything that you are about because it's going to come with you whether you want it to or not. But when we come before the Lord as a non-believer, we come and we confess our sins and we ask Jesus Christ into our life and we have the salvation experience, we come as we are, amen? We come as we are because we are a mess and we are, have all lived our whole life with sin. And we've carried it our whole life. And then when we become saved and we have that salvation experience, and so we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is in the beginning that when we come to Christ, we come to Him as babies in Christ, as babes in Christ. Amen? We come as young infants. We don't know a lot, but God knows that. And He's rearing us and gearing us and training us up. But we're going to come with some messes. We're going to come with some stuff because we don't have it. We're just babies in Christ, okay? We're on the milk, and we're trying to figure it out. But when we become seasoned Christians, we know that when we come near to God, we need to be prepared. Amen? Because when, and you look in the Old Testament, when they came and they had sacrifices, they needed to be prepared. When they went back in the Holy of Holies, they needed to be prepared. They washed themselves before and they did all the ceremony things and the cleansing and all those things because they were preparing themselves. When a man doesn't know God, a woman doesn't know God, they come to God as they are. And that's the way God wants them to come. Come as they are. But when they become little infants, God loves them and takes care of them. And understands they're going to fall. They're going to mess up. But when we become seasoned Christians, God says it's time to start growing up. It's time to start putting on your own shoes, buckling your own belt, put on your own clothes, step out into the world, and become a leader instead of a follower. Become a bright, shining light. As the book of Philippians says, you are like a bright, shining as stars. And we need to be bright. And so he says, let us draw near to God with a true heart. I, as a Christian, should have a clean heart, a true heart. When I don't, the Holy Spirit will convict my heart, and I need to work that out with Him, me and the Lord. Amen? We need to work on that, okay? And we know that we have our mind that is not all right. Our mind is not all right. It's not thinking all holy things all the time, right? Am I in the house? Are we the same place? We have things that can be lust or envious, or jealousy, and all kinds of things, and anger and thoughts that just come out of nowhere. And you're like, why did I think of that? Because we are living in a world, a broken world. We have brokenness all around us. There's things that's going to come into our minds that's not going to be right. But we have a way to work through that. Praise the Lord, we have a way to work through that by saying, Lord, I don't know where that thought came from. I know it's not of me. I don't understand it. But Lord, work that out. I don't want to think that thought again. And if anybody else, if you looked in my mind, I looked in your mind, we would think that each other was crazy. We were the most evilest people in the world because we have thought patterns that are not right. But God knows that. So when we want to draw near to Him, the first thing He says is, come with a true heart. Know that you know me. Know that I know you. When you come to me as a seasoned Christian, know that your heart needs, know that your heart is clean. Okay? Then He says this. He says, in full assurance of faith. We need to have a confidence. We need to be confident in our walk with Jesus. That's an area we struggle with here at New Life. We need to be confident on who the Holy Spirit is and what He can do inside of our lives. Amen? I'm going to get you kind of up this morning. I got to. We need to be confident. We need to be strong in our walk with the Lord. We need to be strong knowing that my faith is strong in the Lord. It's not that I can't lean on your faith. You can't lean on my faith. But we can lean on the one faith, and that is the faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to have a faith that is not weak because we're seasoned Christians, many of us. We need to have a faith that is strong and confident. When I'm going in, that I'm confident. When I was down and out with my broken hip, it was one of the worst things in my life to ever happen. And I had a few visitors from time to time, and in fact, I didn't really want a lot of visitors in my house. Just because, anyway, I just was laid up, and I couldn't move. I didn't like it. But I will tell you there, I struggled with some things because I looked on the accounts, and I saw the accounts were low in the ministries, or, it seemed like the church was doing okay, but the ministries were, and I just got that moment, and I said, Lord, I can't, I can make phone calls, but I can't make the meeting. I can't get to where I need to go. And so I spent a lot of time in praying, and the Lord just began to say, listen, I told you, and I remembered, God told me He'd always take care of everything financially. And so my faith had a result, and it wasn't, and I said, Lord, we are really low. And it wasn't within that next week, within the next 7-8 days, I think it was, we drew in like $3,000, $3,500 that just came out of the blue. See, God's going to do His part, amen? But it's us who's got to grow up in it. We have to grow up in our faith and our walk with faith, knowing that if you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you need to believe it. But you also need to use that scripture correctly as well, right? Amen? Okay, we're in a big Sunday school class today, okay? Amen? All right. So, I'm going to tell myself, I need to be more stronger and confident in my walk with Jesus. I need to be confident in the faith in Jesus Christ. My faith needs to rise up to another level. Maybe yours does too. That's why when you draw to God, God's going to come. And when you walk away and you're doing that and walking, once you draw to God and you have that moment with God, you're going to have that pivotal moment. I believe you can have that pivotal moments with God. In those moments, God strengthens us. And sometimes it's not always in the greatest place that we want to be. Sometimes it's in the valley where we get strengthened. It's in the valley when we hear the voice. It's in the valley when God's hand comes upon the situation. And it's in those moments that our faith is tested and our faith is put under fire and we come out the other side. How do we do that? Because we have faith and we figured it out. The only way we can have it and make it through it is having faith in Jesus, not what I can do with my own hands and not what I can do with my own feet or my own mouth, but I trust in Jesus. Right? Confidence. Guys, this church needs more confidence. You as individuals need to have more confidence in your walk with Jesus in the faith. See, He says this, your assurance, in full assurance of faith, okay? Full confidence, okay? And I want to say a side note. You can't have this stuff just being a Christian on Sunday morning. You have faith, but you're going to have a weak faith. You're going to have a heart, but it's not going to be a true heart. It's going to be a torn heart. It's going to be a split heart. Because you're trying to do two different, you're trying to live two different ways. This is about the man. He says, let us draw near to who? To God. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And I'm telling you, when a man draws near to God, I'm telling you, we're going to get into Isaiah in a couple of weeks. And that was a good man. And you know what happened. We're going to look at John when he draws near to Jesus there in Revelation. What happened to him? Okay? But it's good stuff because God reveals awesome things when we draw near to Him. But He takes care of something before we do. But here we are. We're living life. We have to have a true heart. We have to have assurance, confidence in our faith. But He also is having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Now, if you just look at the scripture, you look at this chapter before, it talks a lot about the sacrifices and things. That's why they're talking about this now and sprinkled. But we see this piece here about our conscience, our minds. We need to have, as Christians, a clean mind. Amen? We need to have a cleaner mind than we have. Okay? Our conscience needs to be clean and clear. And the only way, you know, the Bible says if our conscience is clear, it does not make us innocent. So how do we figure that out? We have to go before the Lord. We can't tell ourselves, Lord, we can't say my conscience is clear. I think we can say that at times when we know that we're walking in the Lord and we have confidence in our faith. We have a true heart. But what happens is we're kind of being checked out by the Holy Spirit here. So we need to make sure our heart, our mind is clean and clear. Okay? It's clean and clear. I was just at one of the Billy Graham things. One of the speakers said he was in a meeting with Billy Graham's group there. And I was just kind of going through this. It's like, I got to do this Tuesday night too. It's like, this is a lot of work. But anyway, and it's helping me grow in some areas. But he said, I had to leave a meeting because my mind and my thoughts were not right. I had to get up and leave a meeting, walk outside, talk to the Lord for a minute, come back in because my attitude wasn't right. Because you know what? If your attitude isn't right, your mind's not right. You're not thinking right. If your attitude's not right, your heart's not right. And your faith is not right because you stop leaning on the Lord and you start looking at your own thinking pattern. That's one of the wisest things. If you're in a meeting, you know, if you get up and you want, excuse me, everybody, I need to step away just for a minute. You can walk out and work it out with the Lord and come back. Sometimes you need to do that with your spouse, right? Sometimes we need to do that with our kids so we don't do anything we're not supposed to do. We need to take a moment and take a walk with the Lord and work it out because if our mind is not right, nothing's right. Because that's where we move and do all the things we do. Because our mind is our computer brain. This is the brain that where we move and we do those things. So if we're going to draw near to God, we need to have a clean and a clear mind. Okay, our conscience needs to be right, and our conscience is those things that you know it's in our brain. It's in that memory bank. If there's something in there that you need to take care of, and you know our conscience, we can bury something that was 5 years ago, but if it keeps coming up, you didn't take care of it. Doesn't mean you don't remember, but if it keeps coming up, it's the same thing when you say you forgive somebody and you turn around or you ask the Lord to forgive you of something, but you keep bringing it up. You didn't truly work it out. You just try to wipe it away real quick. And to get our minds right, we've got to spend some time with the Lord. We've got to spend some more time with the Lord. And the fourth part of this here is and our bodies washed with pure water. I know that I've offended some people here by saying you don't need tattoos, you don't need that. I know there's a generation that loves it. I'm not going to pick on the tattoo thing today, but I want to tell you, because we could also say some of us probably overeat. Some of us put poisons in our bodies. Some of us have prescriptions that we take way too many. America is known to take way too many of certain prescriptions. Some of us put alcohol, some of us put drugs in there. There's a lot of things that we do to defile and dirty up the body that Christ gives to us. So how do we get a pure body? How do we do that? How do we work that out? Can't go back and redo all the things that we've done to our bodies. We can't go back. And I mean, you could go back and get that ink off if you thought that was a bad thing. That's not something I really want to get into a big battle with. But you know what? If you put them on there just for everybody to see, you're just showboating, in my opinion. Not really the great. I mean, this is who I am. That's who I am. Listen, you know who I am? I was a lost person. I'm saved by grace, by the blood of Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. I don't need to look any different than the way He made me. I need to accept the way that He made me and move on and be all that He has created me to be. But I need to take care of my body. I need to eat right. I need to take care of it and make sure that things don't go in my body that I don't need to, because I want to present myself as a whole to God. Not just my mind, not just my heart, not just my brain, my conscience, but my whole body. And when you say the body, that what that does is it makes your whole self come before the Lord. Sex outside of marriage, you'll continue to hear me to tell you that that's wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. Does that mean I don't love people? People always want to challenge me. And you just don't know. Wait a minute, stop. I didn't say I didn't love you. God didn't say He didn't love you. It just says right here in the Word that we're not supposed to do those things. Okay? I didn't make it up. It's not me. It's God's Word. Okay? We are to love one another, regardless. But when we present ourselves before the Lord, our body needs to be right. Okay? What we wear, we don't need to wear shirts that have pornography on them, or I should say, bad language on them, or those kind. We don't need to wear shirts that have five leaves on them, We don't need to be wearing cannabis shirts. We don't need to be wearing all that stuff, because we're supposed to be different. Because you put it on your body, Why am I saying that? Because you have one life to live, and one example to be for Christ, one time. You don't get no redo-overs. I'm 51. I'll never get my 50s back and beyond. I'll never be able to do that. It's already done. I need to be the best witness that I can with what God's given to me in this world. I need to be the best witness that I can. Because God wants to use me to lead others to Christ. To be a living example that they will know that there is no excuse. So we need to take care of our bodies. The doctor tells you not to eat certain things. Listen, it'll benefit you, right? It'll benefit you. But as I say in our 12-step class, the ultimate decision is always yours. You're not going to stop using or stop drinking. No matter what I say to you, whatever we learn, what everybody else says across the table, it comes down that you've got to make the decision, do you really want to stop or not? Do you really want to stop or not? But God says when you draw near to Him, we need to examine the body. Now, if you have tattoos on your body and you've said, Lord, and you've worked that out with Him, you go and you present yourself. But let me read this again. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Why? Because He's going to get ready to do something with us. He drew Moses to the fiery bush. Moses was a mess. But he knew he came as a mess, as a murderer. But when he came upon the mountain of God, it wasn't the same Moses that came to the burning bush. It was the same guy. It was the same Moses, but he was also different. He grew up in the Lord, and when he got angry and he hit that staff on the rock, was it three times? The discipline came down a lot harder than it did down at the burning bush. Bible says that God got angry with Moses. But God didn't put no hammer down on him. But when he struck that rock, he was a strong believer, experienced seeing the great miracles that God did. He was a seasoned believer. Why am I saying that? Because the Bible says that God disciplines those whom He loves. Some of us think that the devil caused certain things, but sometimes God is putting the hammer down and He is disciplining you. Because you're out of line. And as a Christian, don't we get out of line sometimes? And if you're a parent, did you get on your kids when they got out of line? You were a lot easier when they're 1 and 2 years old, right? They get 8 and 9. We get a little sterner. And you get 15, 16, we get real stern because we know we got a short time with them. Because then they're going to turn 18 and 19 and they're just going to fly. I think that's kind of the way it is when we're growing up with Jesus. I'm an adult Christian. Not because of my age, but I think I'm an adult Christian because I've been a Christian since I was 12 years old. And I will tell you this, God still disciplines the older ones. And you know what? I may not like it at the time, but it's needed in my life. I need to know that God's going to discipline me from time to time. I need to know that because it reminds me that He is above me. I'm not above Him. And in the American church today, there's this thing of equality that we think we're almost equal to God. There is a fear that I fear that there's people feel like they can put God wherever they want, that they're controlling God. And the fact is, no one controls God. Amen? God is the Father, we are the children. And he says this, he says, let us draw near to him with a true heart. Make it clean, make a clean heart in a full assurance, have a confident faith when you come. You know that you're a believer, come, confident. You know what, I am a proud person. I'm a proud person that I'm proud of my Father, I'm proud of my Savior, I'm proud of the Holy Spirit, of what they've done and what they can do with a nobody and turn them into a somebody. And I'm one of them. And also having my heart, my mind needs to be clean. My conscience needs to be clean. And I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit will convict my mind and convict my heart when it's not right. And the body part, there's a part there in the body, especially you that are young. You need to be careful. Your hormones are 100 miles an hour. But it's still controllable when you give it over to the Lord. Amen? Even us that are older, and even in retirement homes, I did a research on retirement homes, you'll find more sexual diseases in retirement homes than about anywhere. So don't say that hormones are done and no sexual activity happens. It stops happening after a certain age. We can live a controlled life if we give control over to Jesus. We do not do very good controlling our own life. If you did, you wouldn't have been in the messes that you've been in the past. Amen? I've been in a few messes, and it's when I tried to take control. When we let God control, he does a whole lot better than we do. And you know how you do that? You start drawing near to him. You start drawing near to him. And when you draw near to him, he will challenge you. He will lead you. And one of the most amazing things I found out drawing near to God is his voice becomes much clearer. It's not what do I think, what do I feel, what somebody else says. No, when you draw near to God, his voice becomes more clear, like walking from a distance closer to somebody that you're talking to, and becomes more clear and more specific. And then when you turn and you start living life, you're on the right track. Amen? I don't know about you, but I do know this. New life has got some issues because we're people. And people trying to worship a holy God is pretty hard. But I do know this. He gives us this word right here on how to do it. And today he's shown us that we can do it. Not without him, but with him. And if we draw near to him, our hearts need to be right. Our minds need to be right. Our faith needs to be sure. And my body needs to be right too. And I want to present myself to him and give him free will over my life. And he can do it as he sees fit. So that I might be able to experience the awesome things that God has for me and also for you. New life, I don't know where new life is going to be 5 years from now, but I do know this, that God's called us to do an amazing thing that's much bigger than ourselves. And I will not stop talking about it because I can't. Because it's as we read about last Sunday night, it's in my bones. I cannot stop talking about the ministries. I cannot stop because God's given us ministry since 2005. I cannot stop talking about it and I won't. Because why would you stop talking about something that the Lord put inside of you? You can't because that's what he created you for. To do whatever he's called you. That's that. I am amazed that God is doing what he's doing with what we are. And don't get me wrong, you're all good people. I love you all. I do. I'm not trying to bash you today, but I just think we all just need to take another step toward the Lord. But when we walked out of that church, me and Carla walked out of the church across the street, and there was a part in there, she says, I missed this one. I missed this place. But when we walked out of the building, she said, I wouldn't be surprised, I don't know word by word, but I think she says, I wouldn't be surprised that God doesn't give us this whole block. And I looked at her and said, he's already been given one at a time. One at a time. Why is he doing that? Because we need to know this, that God has chosen us to be a light in this part of the city and in the city, that others might see it and draw near to him. To be an example to other churches. That we are kind of the smallest tribe. Yet God is using us, as the one pastor says, Jimmy, in a meeting last week, he said, we're not doing anything. I don't understand it. I said, man, you just need to draw to God and figure out what he wants you to do. Because I don't think that God just wants us meeting on Sunday mornings and saying, hey, hallelujah, praise the Lord, shake your hand, and not see each other during the week. So I have another spiel I want to, before we go in this closing, I wasn't sure when I want to say it, but I want to say it today because I think it fits in this message today. And also I can just feel the Holy Spirit just telling me when you say it today. Because I'm going to say it in the next few weeks. We know that Randy and Beth are leaving and there's going to be some open spots here and there. But it's not just that. It's also some of the things that are going on in the church that we need to take care of. There are a lot of things that are going on. And I'm going to bring this up next week because I know some other people are missing. But I want to keep the office open during the days. That means I'm going to need somebody to man the phones because my phone needs to be, we need to be using the phones that the church has, not just ringing through me because we're not answering the phone here. Nobody wants to answer the phone. I need some, one of the ladies, or one of you guys want to sit here, if we get a schedule out, we need to be manning the phones. And I can give you some other work to do. I also have, we need to do some a weekly police, what they call police call, which means we need to walk around our properties. If God's given us the properties, then we need to take care of them. Amen? Amen? Amen. And we need to take care of those properties, which means that we need to have police call every once in a while. We need to have that weekly, or Tuesday morning. I'll walk around all the properties and pick up all the garbage, because when you're in a poverty kind of stricken area, people just throw their garbage all over. And nobody's going to pick it up. But I can walk in here on Sunday, see a shingle, and people walk by it, pop cans or what have you. And then the parking lots and all of our properties, they need to be taken care of. Where much is given, much is acquired. Amen? It's a scripture. But also, where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. I mean, God, when he gives you, he's going to require you to be accountable to it. And when he sees that you're accountable to it, he's going to give you more. Now, is the goal to get more? No. The goal is to do the will of the Lord. Amen? Because when you do more and more and more just to do more and more and more, you're almost getting ahead of God. And that's a dangerous place to be. We need to be walking with God. And God's, if we couldn't do it, listen, look at me now. If we could not do this, he would not have given it to us. So, there's a lot of little things that we need to do. And I'm hoping to put it on a PowerPoint here in another week of all the things that we got to do. And I'm going to challenge you to pick something, at least for a time, so we can take care of business and we can take care of what we need to take care of. So today, it's all about drawing near to God. And it's about getting your heart right with him and getting prepared for what's coming around the corner. So we're going to go ahead and stand. We're going to have an opportunity for you if you want to come and you want to pray about your relationship with Christ, about your heart, your mind, your faith. Maybe is it weak? You need to strengthen in your faith. Maybe it's your body. Maybe whatever one of those four pieces are, you need to pray about. Maybe two, three, whatever it may be. But also, if your life is just not right with God, the only way to come to him is as you are. And draw to him. We have a loving God. Now, he loves you so much. And he's patient. He's patient.